Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Micah Van Hus continues his in-depth look at secret societies. As we begin our time together today, I want to encourage you to visit the Resource Center on our website, SWRC.com. There, you'll find over 1,000 books and DVDs by the nation's top teachers, Bible prophecy, biblical mysteries, and the latest archaeology and apologetics are all found at SWRC.com. That's SWRC.com. The latest resources from Lonnie Shipman, Micah Van Hus, Billy Crone, and Josh Davis are all found at SWRC.com. And available for the very first time, the entire Columbus, Ohio Prophecy Conference. All 12 speakers, 20 total presentations, one complete DVD set. Topics include secret societies, the invisible war on the saints, Jewish roots of Christianity, the earth as it was, unveiling the Antichrist, one world update, and much more. Included in this complete set is Jonathan Kahn's presentation on the Josiah Manifesto. Order the complete Columbus Conference DVD set today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order on our website, swrc.com. Now, here's John Ruiz and Micah Van Hus.
Hello and welcome again to Watchmen on the Wall, a production of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. So glad that you took the time to join us. Our guest today is author Micah Van Hus, who has just completed a brand new book, Secret Societies. Would encourage you to visit the website, marginalmysteries.com, where you can pre-order the book. It will also take you to the website for Southwest Radio Church Ministries, swrc.com, and up at the top you will see resources. All you have to do is click right there, and you can get right in there and get yourself a copy of this fascinating book. So much information in it. Welcome, Micah. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
John, not only is it good to be on the program again, it's also good to talk with you again, my friend.
It is a privilege to me, and I think we could talk all day. We start looking at some of these great questions that have lingered so long in history, which both of us love so very much. We were talking during the previous segment about specifically American history and the knowledge that has been withheld from the American citizen and perhaps the leaders of the nation. We have no way of knowing at this point. And the fact that the withholding of knowledge is a method of control of the people, the citizenry, who are supposed to be, as the great historian Bill Federer says, the kings of the country.
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about some of that, how you see the symbolism.
It's obvious here in the year 2024 that the current administration is just being used as a puppet. You know, I'm not going to get too much into that, but the question comes up of how much do we as the people know? Well, also, how much does the president know? How much did they withhold from Donald Trump, who was hostile to the deep state? How much throughout history have they done? We get into JFK and his assassination, and he had enemies in the CIA.
He certainly did
not like the CIA very much. You know, the Bay of Pigs incident that precluded that. Yeah.
It turned into a catastrophe that was embarrassing to him politically. Mm-hmm. And my recollection is his quote was something to the effect he was going to shatter the agency into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the wind or something like that. Why do you think so many prominent American politicians have been drawn into some of what we've been talking about, the symbolism, the secrecy, the secret orders that exist around? For example, you mentioned the Bohemian Grove, which has for so many years been a place where politicians would go make their presentation.
And so I do have, I think, a unique perspective on this. As some folks know, I served in the Tennessee House of Representatives for 8 years, along with my buddies Matthew and Timothy Hill, We had a good run there from 2012 to 2020 where we passed the Heartbeat Bill of Tennessee, all kinds of awesome pieces of legislation. So what corrupts a politician? And I will tell you, power and money. Power and money absolutely corrupt. And I can tell you again and again and again in the state legislature of Tennessee, the number of people that Matthew was there twice as long as I was, so he knew a lot more, but I would see it. People would come in, first newly elected, with a fire under their gut, and they would try to get things done for the people. But the longer they were there, the less they fought for their constituents and the more they became yes men, wanted to get involved with what was going on down there. And I'll never forget, if anybody knows John DeBerry, he was a representative from Memphis, a Democrat. He's one of the finest men I've ever known in my life. And he told me once, and I'll never forget, he said, Satan does not need to be in California. Satan needs to be in Tennessee. And it's what you said earlier, John, that Satan doesn't roar. The lion doesn't roar while he's chasing you. He roars after he's got you. And I'll never forget that. And so the symbolism of the secret societies throughout our country, we see it in the design of the Capitol. We see it in our dollar bills. We see it on the Great Seal. On the Great Seal, we've got one side's got the unfinished pyramid with the all-seeing eye of God on top. The other side is the eagle clutching the 13 arrows. And so the unfinished pyramid actually has 72 unfinished stones on it. That number 72 is important. What did we talk about in the last segment about the division of the nations after the Tower of Babel? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8.
72 of them.
God divides the world into, and there's different translations, so it's between 70 and 72. Right. But in symbolism, 72 is the number given to the angels that are put in charge of the nations after the Tower of Babel. Now, to back this up with scripture, I urge everybody to read Psalm chapter 82. It's only 8 verses. Psalm chapter 82, in my opinion, is the most mysterious verse. When I first read it, I understand what's going on now. One of the most mysterious chapters in the Bible. It's only 8 verses. Take a look at it. Psalm 82. It's even more mysterious than what we find in Revelation. Psalm 82, God meets with the council of the gods in heaven. And he tells them, you better start treating your earthly subjects better or I will cast you to the earth like one of the princes. So when we talk about the 72 number, we are talking about fallen angels. We are talking about the princes of the powers of the air that Jesus came to defeat. Now, a lot of folks don't realize that Jesus actually came to the earth for 3 reasons. The first reason Jesus came to the earth, and that everybody, most people know, and I'm very thankful for, is to save mankind from their sin. The second reason that Jesus came to the earth was to defeat these princes of the powers of the air, which he did, and much like salvation and those, while he did defeat it in around 33 AD, It's not a full, completed defeat until the Day of Judgment. So, yes, the princes of the powers of the air are still here, though they are defeated, much like our salvation and sin and Satan. But the third reason Jesus came to the earth is to reverse the curse of the Tower of Babel. What happens at the Tower of Babel? God divides the world into 70 nations and gives 70 languages instantaneously. Well, what happens after Jesus resurrects? He sends 70 disciples out into the world. And when they speak, everyone hears it in his own language. Fascinating stuff. But anyway, we're talking about the princes of the nations. We find a couple of these princes in Daniel chapter 10. The prince of Persia, the prince of Greece in Daniel chapter 10, and then in Daniel chapter 12, Michael, the archangel, is mentioned as the prince of Israel. So we'll get back into the number 72, the 72 unfinished bricks on the pyramid. Let's get into George Washington. So if you're very interested in what we're talking about, it's my new book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps, and you can get a copy of it at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com. You can also get copies of my other books, Earth as It Was and Ancient Cities and the Gods Who Built Them, as well as a number of t-shirts. Back into the number 72 and the symbolism. That'll lead us to George Washington, which will help answer another question we're getting into the number 72. So at the founding of the country, a lot of folks have been curious, like, you know, George Washington was a Mason. Is it really that bad of a group? Well, at the founding of our country in the late 18th century was a schism in Freemasonry, and it is personified by George Washington and Benjamin Franklin on both sides of that schism. So basically, George Washington and a lot of Freemasons in the New World wanted Freemasonry to be based on the good God of the Bible, you know, the God we worship in Christianity. The other sect of Freemasonry was influenced by the newly formed Illuminati, who infiltrated. The Illuminati was formed in 1776, the same year as our country declared independence. They were formed in Bavaria to foment revolution throughout Europe and, by extension, the Americas, to foment revolution, to change, to bring about a change in the governments, to push towards human enlightenment. They're called the Illuminati for that reason. They didn't last very long officially. They only lasted about 20 years before they were stamped out in Europe. But as with the Knights Templar and other groups, when you get stamped out by the government, you still exist. You just do it secretly and behind the scenes. So while they officially ended in like 1784 or whatever, or 1790, they're still around. But when the Illuminati started, the best way to get new recruits for the Illuminati was to infiltrate Freemason lodges. And even George Washington himself, we have a letter where he talks about the Illuminati infiltration into Freemason lodges. And he says, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think these guys amount to very much at all. And those are a letter from George Washington to somebody. And so we see this struggle between the two types of Freemasonry, the Illuminati Freemasonry and George Washington's Freemasonry. We see this in the Declaration of Independence because we have, I believe, three different names for God in the Declaration of Independence. We see nature's God because Thomas Jefferson was heavily influenced by Benjamin Franklin. We see God Almighty. So we see different names for God in that. When we get the schism in Freemasonry, George Washington himself, I don't think, was a bad guy. He said in another letter that he hasn't set foot in a Freemason lodge for 30 years, obviously towards the end of his life. But we do see this, and it's obvious that George Washington was a Freemason. He held a Freemason ceremony to lay the cornerstone of the Capitol building. Plenty of paintings of George Washington and Masonic ceremonies. And one thing that they did to George Washington after he died is they painted on the rotunda underneath the Capitol building ceiling. You'll see the painting, The Apotheosis of Washington. And it is George Washington ascending into godhood, George Washington becoming a god. He's sitting among the Roman gods. If you go in the U.S. Capitol and you look up, you'll see that. And so George Washington was dead, and I think that was a way of the Illuminati side of Freemasonry to stick it to the other side of Freemasonry. But what do you see around? Well, first of all, the Apotheosis of Washington was painted by a Vatican painter, and we'll get into the Vatican Church and the things that are going on there even to this day. But what do you see around the Apotheosis of Washington painting? There are 72 stars around George Washington becoming a god. That is representative of what I believe are the 70 angels that became gods, kings over the nations. Let's get off topic a little bit. The question I get asked the most in Marginal Mysteries is, how did the giants come back after the flood? Genesis chapter 6, before the flood, it says, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and had Nephilim, mighty men of old, men of renown. Micah, how did the giants come back after the flood? Well, my theory is that in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7, 8, 9, God put 70 angels over the nations to be kings of them because mankind screwed it up with Nimrod. And so now God gives it back to the angels. When these angels become kings, they are given earthly bodies, much like the watchers in Genesis chapter 6, much like the angels that come down from heaven throughout Scripture, wrestle with Jacob, grab Lot by the hand, and take him out of Sodom. These angels take bodies, and when you have an angel taking a body as a king, they're going to take wives, and again, they're going to have giant offspring. And we see this throughout the days of Moses, the days of Joshua, the days of David. Throughout the Old Testament, we have these giants in the land. So that's a side topic. That's my theory on how the giants came back after the flood. These topics of Freemasonry and Illuminati symbolism in the United States of America will lead us into the discussion of the secret of Freemasons. So Freemasonry and Rosicrucians, they share a secret, and that secret will be revealed. So let's build up to it a little bit. We build up to it a lot better in the book, but we're on air, so we'll try to build up to it. The Secret of the Freemasons talks about, well, let's start with the second degree ceremony of Freemasons. It's got the pillars of Jachin and Boaz in the second degree, and the Mason, the initiate, he walks between the pillars. Well, the pillars of Jachin and Boaz are mentioned in the Bible. Solomon, when he builds his temple, he builds two pillars outside of his temple, and he names them Jachin and Boaz. And Freemasons will point to that and say, look, we're a Christian organization. We base our symbolism on you know, things in God's word. And just like the secret societies, just like politicians, just like a lot of things, they have a public face, which they show the public and say, we're good. But in reality, behind the scenes, they're bad. For instance, the Winterhilfsfonds was a Nazi donation drive to feed the homeless and the poor and the needy. So just because you do good things does not mean you're a good group.
And many people don't know that the Nazis kept the vast majority of that money and distributed among themselves. Mm-hmm. It never made it to the hands of the intended.
Yeah. And the point is that powers do not have to be visible to be effective. No. Back to the Freemasons' ceremony, the Pillars of Jachin and Boaz. In the mystical Jewish religion of the Kabbalah, it's an Enlightenment religion, a Hermetic religion, you know, from which we talked about the knowledge of the Watchers being found by Hermes, sharing it with Nimrod. The second degree Masonic ceremony, the Pillars of Jachin and Boaz, if you look at the top of them, on top of one on the left sits a globe of the earth. On top of the pillar on the right sits a globe of the celestial. That is the first clue to what the secret of Freemasonry is. And then we get into a number of things in the book, a number of scriptural references. We talk about Orion and the stars, and Orion being a mighty hunter, just like Nimrod. So Orion is representative of Nimrod in Amos chapter 5, I believe. The secret of the Freemasonry, when you combine the earthly globe with the celestial globe, the secret is a combination of the celestial with the earthly. The square and compass, which is the Masonic symbol. The square represents the earthly feminine, and the compass represents the heavenly masculine. And so to quit the buildup and break it down, the secret of Freemasonry is that once again, towards the end, the celestial will mix with the earthly. What could this mean? Well, what happened in Genesis chapter 6? The angels came down and they cohabitated with women. They mixed. It could also mean demonic possession of the masses. Again, the spiritual and the earthly combining. It could also mean transhumanism, technology mixing with mankind and AI. But another thing I think it also means is the resurrection of Osiris, which I want to save until we talk about the Beast Empire. But we're talking about the spirit of Nimrod, being Osiris, coming back into his body at the end times. That is the secret of Freemasonry and Rosicrucianism, that the celestial is going to mix with the earthly once again.
So I think you and I both have an affection for a verse in Ecclesiastes where we are told that in reality there is nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. And you trace so much of this information back. Old gods, old rituals, old secrets that have been kept for such a long time and now perhaps are being revealed in new ways or being, dare I say, re-secreted in new ways. Do you feel like with the growth of the internet and the, at least the beginning ability to correspond and to share information freely, that it has led to more attention to these elements of secrecy? Mm-hmm. Or are we actually victims of more knowledge control?
The Bible says in Daniel, I think it's chapter 10, it might be chapter 12, but Daniel, the book of Daniel says, towards the end of times, knowledge will be increased. And if indeed we are at the end times, it's possible. Obviously, the internet is a massive part of that. I think of the people I've studied in this book, Helena Blavatsky, who started Theosophy, all the different people in this book who did not have the internet, but yet they wrote about these things from ancient times. It's fascinating to study. But when we talk about the old gods, that's an excellent discussion. It was Sir Francis Bacon who was instrumental in the founding of our country 100 years before it was officially founded, that desperately wanted the New World to be Atlantis reborn. Let's get into that. But first, if you are interested in what we're talking about my new book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps. You can order a copy today at marginalmysteries.com. marginalmysteries.com. That'll lead you to Southwest Radio Ministries website, swrc.com. You can also get t-shirts and DVDs and a number of things we have there. Talking about the old gods and Sir Francis Bacon, he wrote New Atlantis. It was his dream, a Rosicrucian vision of a new world where the old gods would come back, and he wanted America to be that hearth where the old gods could come forth. What is the secret of the secret societies teaching us is that we are going to become gods ourselves one day, and that the ancient gods are going to usher in a battle with the creator called the Battle of Armageddon. The old gods of Atlantis, this is fascinating. We read we talked about Psalm chapter 82. Hopefully you've had a chance to read that. That is mirrored in the story of Atlantis. So when Atlantis, this is also Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 7, 8, and 9, and Psalm chapter 82. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8 says that God divides the world according to the number of the children of Israel. Basically, God divides the world into 70. That's the number of the children of Israel. The Greek Septuagint says that God gives those nations in Deuteronomy 32:8 to the Angelos Theos, which are the angels of God. And the Dead Sea Scrolls say that God gives those nations to the Bnei HaElohim, the same angels mentioned in Genesis chapter 6 and Job chapter 2. The story of Atlantis, the very first thing that Plato writes, 400 BC, the very first thing that Plato writes is, there was a time when the gods divided the world among themselves. And then Poseidon is given the kingship of Atlantis, the nations of Atlantis, not the city, the nations of Atlantis. And Poseidon takes a human wife, just like we read about in Genesis chapter 6, the book of Enoch, and my theory on the after post-Tower of Babel incident where the angels take human wives as they're the leaders of the nations. But yes, the story of Atlantis, Poseidon takes a human wife, and then in the center of the city of Atlantis, they put a pillar of laws, and the gods, they come every few years to judge each other based on what the pillar is saying about how they should treat humankind. That is exactly what Psalm chapter 82 is talking about. God sits in the council of the gods, and he judges among them. And basically, he says, you better start treating the inhabitants of the earth better, or I'm going to cast you to the earth like one of the princes. And these are not men. Psalm 82, we're talking King James here, it says, God says, I have said, ye are gods, but you will die like men. So a lot, I've had people say, well, this is talking about men. I'm sorry. You can't twist the words of the Bible. It says, ye are gods. So that's what we're talking about here. Anyway, Sir Francis Bacon and the illuminated folks, which led into the Illuminati, but also the Rosicrucians at the time, they wanted a place to usher in a new world order. And they hoped that America would be it. I don't think America is it. I do think that God has prevailed over these powers. He has not let these powers win here in America. I think that the powers that will usher in the end time scenario, the New World Order, actually reside in the Catholic Church at the Vatican. But we're going to get into that in another segment. So what are the questions we got about America and all that stuff?
One of the other items that I thought was extremely interesting was the, dare I say, the evolution of the Knights Templar, mm-hmm. and how it started. As you just pointed out, the face shown to the world as opposed to the reality mm-hmm. that it later became. Would you talk about that a little?
Absolutely. The Knights Templar started as a group of 9 knights who protected pilgrims who traveled from Europe to the, I'm getting ready to say the Americas, no, because my mind's on that, from Europe to the Middle East during the Crusades.
Which could be a deadly, literally mm-hmm. deadly
oh,
journey.
Oh, it was. It was yes. a deadly journey. Yes. And so we had not only the Knights Templar, another group, the Knights Hospitaller, started to protect these pilgrims, and the Knights Templar gains the recognition of the Catholic Church and becomes answerable to no nation but to the Catholic Church itself, vastly expanding its ranks up to 20,000 members at its peak. The Knights Templar are a fascinating aspect of the book. They invented the first international banking system. So as John said, traveling from Europe to the Middle East was dangerous. So people could deposit money in a European Templar bank. The Templars would give you a note with a riddle on it. They would also tell you, not written down, but they would tell you the answer to the riddle in your mind.
Your code,
so that when you get to the Middle East, to the Holy Land, you could go to a Templar bank there and withdraw your money, and if someone had killed you and taken your note, they wouldn't know the code word that you had in your head. So they invented the first international banking system. Now, that whole process gave rise to their secrecy, one of the reasons there's thought of as a secret society. There's many more reasons why they're a secret society, and I think I have a little bit of time. Let's try to get this in here. The Knights Templar, I believe, had quite a bit to do with the founding of the United States of America, if not the founding of their kingdom around the world. In fact, we don't have time to get into this, so we'll have to talk about it on the next segment, but it's a fascinating idea of the Knights Templar spreading throughout the world after they have been obliterated. So we'll get into that. So if you're fascinated on what we've been talking about, John, how can they get a hold of the copy?
The material is truly fascinating. Do yourself a favor and go to marginalmysteries.com. There you'll be able to pre-order a copy of Micah Van Hus's brand new book, Secret Societies. You'll also be able to order equally wonderful volumes that he has already written and completed, and T-shirts and various and sundry other things. This will take you then to swrc.com as well, where you can find so many other resources provided by Southwest Radio Church Ministries. We thank you for joining us.
This week, we are debuting Micah Van Hus's brand new book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps. Where did secret societies originate? What role do they play in the end times? Find out in the new book, Secret Societies. Order Secret Societies today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order Secret Societies at our website, swrc.com. Since the days of Nimrod, rooted in the knowledge of the Antediluvian Watchers, secret societies have been working to usher in human enlightenment, ascend humanity into godhood, and provoke a final battle with the Creator. They will get their battle of Armageddon, but they will not win. In the brand new book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps, you will study history's most prominent secret societies and their lasting effects on our culture, religion, government, and laws. Join Micah in exploring the answers to these questions from a biblical worldview and discussing the topics your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about. Secret Societies. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Friends, we're so glad you're here today. If you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. Inside, you'll find the latest issue of our Prophetic Observer newsletter and a special gift. Request your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Micah will continue pulling back the curtain on the world's secret societies. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.